96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 25th of April, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Now, joining me this morning for this conversation and is Mr. Cecil Newry. We're continuing the conversation from yesterday because we really didn't finish it. There's lots that I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to start here. We're going to start with some sort of housekeeping. Now, Mr. Mark Palmer is going to be joining us from Eleuthera via Zoom. I want to just touch on Sudan and what's happening in Sudan very briefly. I just want to keep it in our minds. But I have another story that I won't really get to today, but I want to highlight because I'm supposed to highlight it from yesterday. I'm supposed to highlight it from Friday. And the article I'm going to read from briefly is Pinder. I only left union to get pension. That's in the Nassau Tribune. And starts, former labor director John Pinder said he only left union leadership for a government job to collect a pension and now wants to return as the Bahamas Public Service Union president. I'm going to stop right there. Let me tell you why I'm touching on that. I've wanted to sit and have a discussion about the article and the implications of what Mr. Pinder said in the article, but there are a few more important things to talk about. But I want to make this point that I don't think Mr. Pinder understands the decision he made, like the impact that that decision he made has had on labor in the country generally and the impact on the labor movement and labor issues moving forward. I don't think he understands what the impact of him being appointed director of labor under an administration, but then campaigning for a nomination from the same party administration that appointed him, and then receiving the nomination and then campaigning for a seat while still holding the position of director of labor. A number of things, detrimental things happened. I have not asked Mr. Newry to share the details today. I know that this is not my area of focus, but I do know that we had some issues that warrant constitutional review in terms of the state allowing private employers to withhold certain requirements or benefits or pay to shift to temporarily ignore the law. I think that's what happened for a moment. Anyway, I want to say good morning to the staff at McDonald's Oaksfield. I want to say good morning to the staff at Burger King Village Road as well. Look here, the young people, them, they trying hard, okay? As you can tell, I went to Bougie QC, and sometimes some of us have an elitist attitude and we forget what it's like, or, you know, how difficult it must be to traverse or navigate the world as someone with less economic wealth or status, sort of identified as living in a lower class. Like, we don't see how our privilege helps us move through the world. And some of these young people are struggling to overcome biases and disadvantages and inequalities. And I think it's important for their employers to understand their obligations to their staff that run their companies and make profit for them, right? I think service at Oaksfield McDonald's this morning was excellent. It was fantastic because they had to deal with me responding to the fact that the price of my breakfast went up by, I would say, a significant amount. I've been off the road for about 6 weeks. In about that time, the price went up. And that's not the part that bothers me because prices go up, you know. It's that there's no notice. There's no notice of a price increase anywhere on the outside of the exterior of the building that I could view, you know, while on the drive-through line entering the compound. I don't know why you would do that to me. You know, me and you, we already ain't on good terms because you do that to me. But why would you do it to your staff? Why would you not make it as easy as possible for your staff to interact with the public? Why wouldn't you put up signs and notices to prepare the public for changes in your policies and prices so the staff don't have to encounter angry, confused, and frustrated customers? I don't really want to get into the rest of what I gleaned, what I could just guess from my interaction with the wonderful staff at McDonald's this morning, but I will say that if we had a real labor movement, I don't know if any of this would be happening. Anyway, later in the week, we're going to get into this story about John Pinder. Let me repeat that. World ever thought they would hear somebody say this out loud and not on a comedy show like The Spot, where we engage in political satire and social commentary to show ourselves images of we self. Pinder, I only left union to get pension, Nassau Tribune last week. Former Labor Director John Pinder said he only left union leadership for a government job to collect a pension and now wants to return as the BPSU, that's the Bahamas Public Services Union, president. That's the union that manages, that oversees the people who work for government. No, that was Jesus calling and telling me, don't get too excited.
Aaron, and I'll try interject right here as I turn down all these notifications. It's audacity. It's the audacity that has me uneasy. And I believe that's what gives you the angst that what you're talking about right now. That the flippancy to tell you that a person whose calling was to serve the workers decided to put his self above the needs and the agenda of the working force to make sure that he gets straight.
Yeah.
Then come back and brag. Man, I had to get straight first. I come help you. No, I abandoned you. I abdicated the throne. I give up. I said, hell with you all. Mm-hmm. Because I needed to get straight.
And listen, I like to declare my biases, right? Somebody looked at me the other day and said, Green, you afraid of Wiki. And so I'm going to declare my biases. Maybe I am not qualified to talk about labor relations, right, and labor movement and union issues. Maybe I am not the one. But I just want to say to the good members of the BPSU, if somebody has the audacity to tell you that they left a position that they, young people say they bodied at, five straight, never lost an election, but they left that to go to government and get a good government, well, he didn't say a good government job, he said for a job to collect a pension. What can he do for you in the union? Mm. How could he help you get a good pension in the union? Mm. Right? What is he doing in the union? And what will become of the union if he couldn't figure out how to survive providing that service to the union? Now, dear caller, before I pick up the phone, I want to share something with you. I tried to get the show started before because I wanted to slip this in. This isn't really a part of the conversation. The conversation for today is we're going to continue that question, that bold statement I put on the table, should a man should not have to rape his wife versus a man should not rape his wife. But I also want to say something very bold, which is today I'm going to demand that the unnamed MP be fired, that the Prime Minister be fired. He can't be fired, but he should resign. Because he's the boss. He's due to firing.
You firing everybody. Everybody got to resign.
Because he's not firing anybody. Mm. He have to resign. The unnamed MP should resign. The prime minister should resign. And I think Wayne Monroe needs to resign.
Minister of National Security.
Yeah, he needs to resign.
I'm
going to
hash it out because I want to know what you're saying all this for. I need to understand why you call
it. Well, I'm saying it because it needs to be said. But we can get to that. Let me get to the call. I just wanted people to know what it is we plan on talking about today. Mm-hmm. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. How are you?
This is John Pinder.
Oh, good morning, sir. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I wish you would have invited me to your show so I could explain what's happening, but I'm glad you brought this topic up.
Well, listen.
So explain you how it works.
Now that you are calling in, step proper, but please speak.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, every person who wants to run for office in the Bahamas Public Service Union has either been regularly employed by the government or employed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
When I ran for president of the union in 2005, I was, 2002,
mm-hmm.
I was had done 21 years at the Auditor General's Department as an auditor for the government.
Mm-hmm.
Presidents of BPSU don't receive a pension, and your pension, your time in the government freezes once they put you on a minute, well, when you get leave of absence to become a full-time executive of the Bahamas Public Service Union, the CEO.
Mm-hmm.
So my time had stopped. I needed at least 25 years in government to get a pension. I don't get a pension from the union. So I have to consider the fact that I was still a birthday, that I had responsibilities, recognizing that I've already done 15 years and I've lost all of my years. That 15 years was not covered for as relates to the calculation of your pension.
Okay.
Only an act of parliament could bridge those years for you, which I've been trying to get there. Okay. So I decided, I said, you know what, John? You're getting older now. If you don't go and put in enough time, 65 can catch you with insufficient time to get a good pension. So I had to go back to the union. I made it a choice to not run for president any longer. I thought I came pretty good. Could have taken the hem and continued on with the union. He'd been my vice president for 6 years. And I would trust him to be for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, in all fairness, let me just give him a chance, put some new blood into the union. I will go back to the public service and try to get sufficient years for your pension.
Okay.
During that time, the government had decided that they would offer me the position of Director of Labor, which they normally do for trade union leaders. Myself, Robert Pattinson, the later former president of Teachers Union, or director, but they often use a trade unionist to be Director of Labor. I accepted that post.
Okay.
While in that post, I got a call from the Fox Association of the FNM, asking me to run, which I kind of declined in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But when a prime minister calls you and asks you and says he wants you to be a candidate, it's very difficult to say no to a prime minister.
But listen, let me tell you how easy it is.
So I accepted the position, the opportunity to run, and then I ran.
Okay.
I my intention was always to resign, not resign, retire from government at 60. That was always my intention.
Okay.
But I just needed to make sure I was sufficient to get a pension.
All right. I can appreciate that. That you can't get, you don't get a pension in the union. But Mr. Pinder, I want to invite you to come on the show.
Please do.
So I could leave your number with the producer for me.
Not a problem.
We can make that connection. I want
to tell you how I did pension for public servants in the service so you can know my record.
But listen,
I wanted to ask, is there anyone in the union machinery who can take the helm? That is there definitely a need for you to return? Surely there are 20. You've made available at least 20 men who could say easily take the helm and say march forward. It can't be just
to be honest with you, I only return by popular demand by the union members. Many of the union members have been coming, even when I was in the position as Director of Labor, they've been coming to me with concerns that they had, they didn't feel as though the present union president was addressing.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to reach out to him, but he refused to accept any consultation with me, any advice or anything from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, as best I can, in my position as Director of Labor. So much so that I got a call one day from a minister saying, listen, boy, you are no longer a trade union leader and union people known and be Director of Labor. But I just had to help people as best I can in the Wake Forest. I did that. So people appreciated what I did, and a number of them asked me to please come back and run for President Union again. Sufficient people call, I think, you know what? Let me at least embrace them and give it another shot.
All right. I was about them and tell them to join us, but because I have,
I have a team of 10. You want me to bring them?
But look here, you could bring about four of them. And it is because I have talked about you incessantly from leading into the last election. I would like to give you a space, even though you didn't accept my invitation, my informal invitation long time. I would be glad to have you come in, but I'm going to ask you some tough questions about the union and what I perceive to be a union to parliament pipeline.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it started from the Randolph Fox, Darling, Clementine Maynard, Shane Gibson, Keith Archer, Bobby Glidden.
Listen,
the whole state of, even Janet Boston was the first Secretary General of the Bahamas Parliamentary Union. Most of the good, successful politicians came to the trade union movement.
Right. And the question is, it's been good for politics, but has it been good for the labor movement?
I don't think so. I think it's a betrayal.
And that'll give you some more information. In 1975, there was an agreement signed with the Pillar Administration and the trade union movement to always have a labor in the Senate at least. So I think it started to work. It was working, but things changed as, you know, as time progressed. But yes, I think it was working pretty good. And you saw this government, they signed off some agreement with the trade union movement also.
Well, don't bring up this government right now. That's too much conversation.
I would also
when you're ready, let me know.
I want to ask Mr. Pinder.
I'm gladly come so I can explain myself.
If Mr. Pinder plans to run again as a candidate of the Free National Movement in the future. I don't know.
What happens is, once you become president of the union, you are apolitical. You can't take no political side because you get FNM members, you get PSB members, you get DNA members, you get coalition members, you get independent members. You can't take no side. And you don't want to take any side because you supported a government in the past and they're now the present government that you could allow them to slide. No, we have an industrial agreement. We'll always fashion an industrial agreement and it's always fashioned in consultation with the membership. And the government has to live up to it. Whenever they breach it, don't care who they are. If they breach that, then they must be brought to account.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mr. Pinder. Make sure leave the number with the producer.
I can give it to you on the phone. I can give it to you on the air, man. 357-9150. Everybody knows. Public service got my number. 357-9150.
Okay, 9150. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely. Have a great day. There you go.
I appreciate Mr. Pinder calling in.
Yeah.
But mind you, he's not afraid of anything. He'll handle a tough question you put at him, and he's not afraid to answer. So I always appreciate his engaging us.
And I'm glad you were cool with me extending the space to him, because I talk about Mr. Pinder incessantly at one point.
Mm.
You know? Like I'm going to talk about the Prime Minister, Wayne Munro, and the unnamed MP.
Yeah, man, we have two shows. We can do all of that.
And possibly the COP, because that statement...
Why? What do you have against the COP?
I don't have anything against... I want to know what he has against me.
He's a woman.
I mean, that can't be it. I mean,
it can't be it.
Possibly. But I don't think... I'm not casting that aspersion at all. I ain't a fisherman.
I'm different from you.
Today. There's a statement that the Commissioner of Police made yesterday... Yesterday,
serious crime is down.
Afternoon, good, right? In that same sort of press conference, he made a statement. I found it on the Nassau Guardian's Facebook page at about midday, right?
Okay.
And Police Commissioner Clayton Fernandez said the men were questioning before the end of the week.
That's good. I mean, it's been a while. How long has this been, like a month now?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a whole month, but I think the first article I have is dated in the list of articles is "This Ain't Going Under the Table," 17th of April. That was in the Nassau Tribune. That may not be the first one. I think
it's been rumored on social media for a while before then it hit the media, the local media after that.
I'd only seen it a couple of days before it hit the local media.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My social media.
So you're saying a week?
Yeah, but I don't think more than a week before the 17th.
Okay.
Right. So I don't think it was more than that. But at the end of the statement, he said, asked about the MP's identity, Fernandez said, quote, "The nation knows who the MP is."
What do you mean the nation knows who the MP is? That don't make no sense.
Especially it doesn't make any sense if you don't follow it up with, "And so I am going to tell you now since everybody knows."
It has to be, for me, when with the pause there and the intentional not naming, it has to be intentional that he does not want or he feels uncomfortable naming the particular MP.
Right. And I get a bunch of questions about that, right? Prior to the PM's commentary on Saturday,
you're
right?
Moving quickly. I still want to deal
with it. Yeah, we're going back. Prior to the PM's commentary on Saturday, I would not have been as concerned about this statement, right?
I'm gonna test you on that.
Because essentially the Prime Minister shifted the power back, right? Like, we know that the power to investigate sits with the police. That's their job.
Yes.
Right? The cameras focus on the PM. That's the PM.
Yes.
They ask him some questions. He's going to respond. You're going to take what he says seriously,
yes,
right?
He's a PM.
He starts the interview, at least from I've seen two publications of the same interview, one by Our News and one by Eyewitness. I transcribed the quotes from the Eyewitness broadcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that video starts with the Prime Minister saying, why would I comment on something the police is investigating, right?
So let's pause then, yeah. Analyze that, right?
Yeah.
So the Prime Minister's saying the authority lies in the cop. The COP's
right, it's like
hand.
He's shifting. So you the PM, you speak in now. Mm-hmm. Buck always stops with you.
Mm-hmm.
You then shift the authority back to the COP and say, no.
They're an independent body.
Right. I may be the Prime Minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I shouldn't be commenting. I'm going to send it back to them. And they're going to deal with it, right? So
that's good.
After that point, I want to know, well, why does the CEO, but while acknowledging that everybody knows, but knowing that every single person could not possibly know, and even if they published this, even if the police shared it with the media, even if the media published it, even if people like you and I, who are simply media personalities, talk show hosts, right? None of us did it. Why you?
Okay, just my concern.
Yeah.
True or false, has any media shared the name of this particular MP?
No, not a dime aware.
So how can the Commissioner of Police says everybody knows?
Exactly.
So either he's incompetent, he had to throw that word incompetent, of not understanding what it means that everybody knows.
Right.
Or he's intentional in terms of making sure that everybody does not know.
Yeah.
So it's either or. Is he being intentional to make sure, continue the idea that nobody knows? Or he is abdicating his responsibility of ensuring that justice prevails, that everybody knows?
Right. And I don't know if the... And so the reason why I'm calling for the Prime Minister to resign is I am not certain he understands of his engagement, right? His speech and his actions or lack of actions on the case itself.
I see how you're calling for the Prime Minister to resign still, though. You still need to hash that out and explain what the Prime Minister do. He didn't say the Commissioner of Police can tell us and lead the charge. Just the Commissioner maybe need to resign. We called for him to resign a couple of times.
Well, let's go through what the Prime Minister said in that interview. But I see we have a caller here. I don't want the caller to sit on the line too long. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right, thanks. And good morning, Louis. I just turned on the radio and I just heard the comment was that the you said that the authority shift back to the commissioner. That's what I heard what you said.
No, what we are doing is, right? We're looking at. You want to turn your radio down just a touch?
My radio is not on. It's not on.
Okay, that's great. I was just hearing a little echo in the back.
I hear a little echo.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So the Prime Minister starts off this interview on Saturday by saying, obviously in response to a question by a reporter, why would I comment on something the police is investigating? I will abide and I will await the outcome of the investigation, and upon the conclusion of those investigations, then you can expect me to speak, full stop, right?
Yes.
So what I was saying to the audience caller was that we know that the Commissioner of Police is in charge of investigations.
Automatic.
That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
But when the reporters turn to the Prime Minister to ask him what matter, you say to yourself, well, the buck stops with the Prime Minister. He's in charge. And we tend to take his word as gospel.
Yes.
Right? And then go back and compare it to what others have said. So when the prime minister says, why would I comment on something the police is investigating, it's like he's shifting the authority back to the COP. He's saying, I know I am the prime minister. Mm-hmm. I am equal among equals. However, I am not. I should not speak until the commissioner of police informs me, until he tells me what's happening. And that's why I said it's like the prime minister shifts the authority back to the commissioner of police.
Or strengthens the authority
of the commissioner of police. Because we are asking, I am asking the question, why did the commissioner of police yesterday at the press conference say the nation knows who the MP is, but didn't name the MP?
Let's go back to the caller to ask his concern. What is your concern, caller?
Yeah, well, I was just responding because when I heard that caused me to ask, how in the world did the prime minister get involved in the fishing
sale? We're going to address that right now.
That's what we are trying to determine.
It's a criminal matter. So it makes it seem as though a precedent has been set, and make it seem as though the politicians interfering with police matter. And that's what got me. That's what got me concerned. You see what I'm saying? I say that's why. Go on. I say, hold on. The prime minister be out of order. That's the case. And all the prime ministers in the past have interfered with police matters, in my opinion. Granted that they have the authority as the government through the Ministry of National Security, but the police need to do their work.
Yeah, and it's important to not. That's why I say on the show I am always cautious of how we talk about things. Right? Because we don't want to interfere and cause justice to not be achieved because we felt that we had a right to say something.
But thank you very much, caller. We have some more callers.
Thank you,
caller.
Let's go to the next caller, producer.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning. My boy.
Mr. Nuri. Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Nuri. Hey, I would say a serious thing, but I'm a mess from your topic. I didn't catch the face of the show, and I was wondering if y'all, between the 2 hours, if you say anything about what the former prime, I know we tied some of us tied a hair in the former prime minister, but what he was asking in Parliament yesterday about the commissioner of police or the minister of national security issuing guns, weapons, to persons who might already spend time in jail or in jail for murder or guns. Ooh. Or drugs, to see if there's any truth to it, if y'all have any of the report from yesterday where I was mentioned in Parliament, and I didn't catch the voice of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a joking matter. I know you're dead serious, and people realize what you're pointing out, just mm-hmm. like how the last caller was talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, Ms. Green,
mm-hmm.
when you say that's why you asked for the prime minister, I burst out laughing. I don't know how much people... I know you're not joking, and it's not a joke, but you're saying, right, you're being dead serious, right?
Yeah.
But it's come like a big joke, because I guess people will say, well, why it sound like a joke? Because, I mean, we don't expect him or any other prime ministers, like in situation when you ask for them to resign. I mean, a statesman will do it, an honorable person will do it,
mm-hmm.
if they know they're wrong. But it really was a joke for the morning for me. I don't know about others, to get a good, hard laugh out when you say that's why you asked him.
Papa, I'm going to have her make her case right now. So as soon as you hang up, I'm going to have her make up her case.
Thank you.
But we're going to take a break. Yeah, we're taking a break right now. Caller, I see you. We're going to bring you in on the next side of the break and to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
absolutely. Well, we got to go to the break. I'm cool. I need to pause. I need to breathe. Listen, the call-in line, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And for our toll-free number, if you are in the Bahamas but outside of the capital, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-422-GR96. You guys, tune into the conversation. We'll be right back. Thank you.
hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity, plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300, 302-2300, or call you, be prepared. Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bother me.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361, 302-2361, or visit us at the Nassau Guardian Building in Oaksfield. Print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. So this is a discussion,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's re-enter the conversation. Caller, we see you holding. Give us a second. Let's re-enter the conversation. I may or may not take calls.
No. I think we can take calls.
Right.
We can cut people off.
Yeah, okay. Dear callers, it is our responsibility to control the conversation and to protect ourselves, you, the caller, and the platform upon which we broadcast from any potential legal issues. Bang. So I'm asking my callers to be extremely responsible. As you know, I have Mr. Newry here with me to ensure that even I moderate myself in this conversation. I said some heavy things.
But like it's before we went, I wanted you to make a case.
Right.
And we're still making the case. Because you said you was concern about the prime minister. So, it even go as far as you might think he may even need to resign. Not saying he resigned. The protocol, the procedures. To say you vexed at what he did.
Right.
And I'm trying to find out what exactly are you vexed at?
I think that the of the claims we are addressing have nothing to do with whether he should resign or not. It's not a matter of whether the claims are valid or not.
Yes.
Those are separate.
We ain't talking about
I think
a case.
That the Prime Minister ignored or forgot, right, the rules of the Westminster system. I think that his comments could have ranged, you know, are very problematic, and that he should not have said what he said.
I put this to you. Watch me bait you.
Yeah.
The Prime Minister earlier, and I see you call, I'm going to come to you right now, said that he will not engage in the commenting on this case.
Yeah. But
he said that the cop, the Commissioner of Police, is in charge. And then he said he didn't want to make any comments. But he then go and made comments.
Yeah.
Right? And there's a comment I want you to hash out with me. There's a comment I want you to hash out with me on whether this was appropriate or not. When the Prime Minister said he heard, he ain't heard directly, but he heard from somebody.
Right, from someone.
Someone, somebody, who I don't know who the person is.
Yeah.
That perhaps the accused did not want to press charges.
Right. And here's what the problem is.
See, that was problematic for
me. And here's what my claim is. See, now we can't talk about nothing. We can't, because he inserted himself in the conversation in the way that he did.
That's a testimony there.
We can't talk about anything. We have to be more responsible than it appears he was in the moment. Right? Now, I give him a slight pass because it appears as if he was at an event. Right? Like he was at a meeting. It was the weekend.
They caught him off guard, you think?
Well, perhaps he should not have spoken. Perhaps he should not have commented. Because he was in an informal setting, in an informal state, right? Perhaps he should not have commented at all. Perhaps he should have said, you can't see us the weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
I need to get some stewfish.
Like
Prime Minister. Sorry, different Prime Minister. Go ahead.
I never thought I would say this. Perhaps he should have pulled a Leslie Miller.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps he shouldn't have.
No.
Right? He should have said, listen, I can't talk now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's important, but I got to go home. He should have said something else.
Yeah.
Because now none of us could talk about it, right? Like you problematized it, and now anything else we do could become an even greater problem.
Hmm. But the right?
The other part is this: is if you met with the unnamed MP,
we ain't reached that far. You skipping again?
That's what he said in the article.
Yeah, but I ain't reached that far. I don't talk about him giving commentary on something he ain't supposed to comment on.
That's so problematic. This is what I'm trying to tell you. It's almost like we can't even talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I spent days and days reminding the audience that to have these conversations,
yes, you did.
We got to sit within these rules, right? Of what we can and cannot say on the public airwaves, right? We got to sort of play this game, right? Because not everything in the public domain is fit to be publicized in the public airwaves. And he's just problematize that space. That's why I sort of shifting from that, right? The other issue is because if you met with this guy,
okay,
if you
let's introduce that.
Right, if you
the
spoke
Prime Minister
him on the
also
phone,
said that when the question was asked that this was at a time that the police did not interview the unnamed MP, and then the media asks, "Have you spoken to this unnamed MP?" And if the Prime Minister said, "Of course, I spoke to him."
Right. So when you spoke to him, right, what did you, your private, I don't know if you spoke to him in the capacity of like a legal advisor, I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is it does not appear as if you demanded that he accompany you to the police. Like if he was concerned, like he would have the Prime Minister on his side. Like did you demand that he accompany you to the RBPF to clear this matter up? Did you then in the alternate demand ask him to resign? Did he demand his resignation?
Yeah, we didn't ask that.
Right? Nope. I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you asked him to resign, he said no, then you demanded him.
Or advised him, encouraged him.
Right.
You got to demand.
No, we pass advise and encourage. Like, why wouldn't you fire him? Why wouldn't you say to him that, listen, you have an opportunity to clear your name. Go in and clear your name.
I want to hash that out, but I need to go to the caller because we had them on hold for it. But I want to ask you why you think there's a need for the unnamed MP to resign or put people on the sidewalk.
That was this thing called honor.
Yeah, that's what I want to hash that out. I want to hash it out. But let's go to the caller. Caller, can you hear me?
Aaron, good morning. Good morning.
Now, remember, I just got to say this disclaimer. Let's be very careful and do not be offended if I cut you. Okay, good.
Okay. Let me state this. Aaron, some very interesting viewpoints you just stated just now. The general perception out here in the public, we are all aware that persons in the government, whether present, current, or past, they do have an impact or influence we cannot escape. Mm-hmm. We know that the prime minister, prime among all of the members in our parliament, but he's the first among equals. His influence on every agency in this country, including the prime minister, including the police and immigration department, there is a certain amount of influence we cannot dismiss. You know, to try and paint the picture with, the police force, which is by constitution, is supposed to be autonomous. Don't think for a second that the government does not have an impact or influence on any decisions that's being made there. That's been vetted and vested from time immemorial. We've been seeing the influences of that office upon our police force. So, as far as the prime minister is concerned in this matter, seeing that the MP is involved, any questions posed to him, I would have done one or two things. Either said no comment or simply refer the press or whomever asking the questions to the COP, the Commissioner of Police.
Mm-hmm.
That is the relevant authority who can adequately comment on this matter without there being any prejudiceness or biasness towards the governing party. And this is what happens from time immemorial. There are lessons in closing that we should have learned a long time ago. The police force is autonomous. Immigration agencies, that's autonomous. Allow these persons to carry out their duties without political interference from either party. Mm-hmm. Let them carry out the job so justice can prevail as the end result. I'll close on that note. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to engage you again, Aaron, right? You, for some reason, believe in this Westminster system that people need to resign if there's any kind of embarrassment or questionable attitude towards them. In fact, one of the media asked the prime minister in terms of, have you ever had a complaint mm-hmm. about the moral conduct of this particular unnamed MP? And immediately, the prime minister stepped back and ended the conversation altogether. No more questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the question again said, have you ever had any concerns brought to you about this MP before? Has there been any complaint? That was the question on the news clip. Mm-hmm. And immediately the prime minister ended it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the prime minister intended not to comment, but he got caught up.
Right. I get the impression that this wasn't an organized press conference, that he was not prepared to speak.
But then again, he's a KC. He knows what to do.
He knows what to do. Briefed.
Right. He's a KC.
You arguing my point now. But, the point I want to make is that that's my job. Not necessarily as a media personality, right? But as an advocate. It's my job to demand these things, to ask for these things, right? As a media personality, it's my job to ensure that we do it in a balanced manner and as accurately as possible, right? That's my job as a media personality, to balance the obligations, with like the right to speak, the right to engage. These are things that we have to balance. But that's why this thing is problematic for me, because the conversation is now that much more problematic.
Later on, after we engage these callers, I want to ask you from an advocate point of view. So I'm going to engage you that way.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nui.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, I noticed you don't say morning. For someone who...
Because I started talking all kind of Arabic.
Green.
Yes, sir.
I agree with your sentiments totally, okay? I don't know why CA knew we'd have a problem with asking for the resignation, but what I notice about this country, we'll be up in arms with cases like the George Floyd and the Tyree Nichols, but when it comes to incidents here at home, we're like passive sheep, right? Blind obedience, right? Now, the scenario you're talking about is very upsetting, all right, as far as the PM giving statements, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then what I'm looking at is it highlights a problem. So Jeff was right, right? But what Jeff has to realize is nothing exists. All right, autonomy exists in theory, but we're not seeing it in practice. So I go by what I observe. It's the same thing. What is the most at the forefront now is the video that circulated about Azaria Major. Now, we saw the documentation on the video.
Mm-hmm.
There was only a certain amount of officers that were called to give statement. Then the top brass of the police force, right? In a first world country, people would be protesting for them to resign because what happened was not being no fault of their own, but through blind obedience and the gospel according to the police, which you then have is a chronology of corruption because what you had was senior brass officers, including the Mr. Monroe, made statements
that they
knew nothing about. Big.
Yeah. Thank you, 52. I got to get on top of the Azario story.
Want to have another day for that?
Well, I got to do the research, right? Oh, okay. So that I can engage conversations like
I know
this.
That's that in court. That's why I didn't touch it.
Before the courts, because I thought it was dismissed, and they were told that they have to go to a civil matter.
Really? Well, I don't know. Just investigate it then.
Yeah.
Because I don't know from it.
52, thank you very much. And I want to acknowledge that 52, he moderated himself. That's how difficult it is to have conversations like this. And that's why media... personalities tend to shy away from them, right? And the audience often demands, right, an investigative journalistic approach. They demand that we who hold the mic, right, live up to the obligation of a professional reporter or a journalist to bring them the news, yeah, not understanding how difficult it is to complete the processes required for publishing information on the public airwaves, how you have to verify that data, that information. Sometimes you have to double verify it, triple verify it, right? And when we're talking about matters that are before the court, that means there's another set of rules entirely. And then when we're talking about matters that could potentially be before the court, right? There's another set of rules that are, some are unspoken, right, and some are laid in. How do you have these conversations in a way that you understand your obligation to not prejudice justice, right? Whatever it may be, whoever wins, or because justice isn't about winning either, right? Then you're speaking from someone's platform, and you got to speak within the scope of their parameters because they own the station. Mm-hmm. And they're looking to both their economic and their legal obligations, right? And so I think this is a great opportunity to talk about it.
But how I plan to talk about that on the other side, yeah, yeah, in terms of as an advocate and what you see is needed and that what is not happening, and then use the quotes to do that. So I wanted right, to have that discussion.
I feel you. But I just want to say to the audience, you know, like this is what it is. When you are saying to yourself, why are things not happening? Why are we not seeing resolution in these matters? Well, it's because we haven't created the environment in which justice can prevail.
Hmm.
We haven't created the mechanisms, the institutions. We watch 60 Minutes. We watch all the cases and how they're resolved. But we ignore the fact that they rely on people working in institutions that have existed for decades. Not just years, for decades, right? They're seeking out information. They spend the time verifying and fact-checking. They make that information accessible to the public, to other government agencies and private sector agencies and non-governmental organizations, right? There are internships that are supported through private sector and public sector and business sector donations. We have this vision in our mind of where we live, but we haven't actually created it, right? And we have these expectations that things are going to happen in a certain way, but we have not made it so. We have not created the institutions. We have not committed the resources to ensuring the sustainability of the institutions and of the work. And that's another part of it. I'm disappointed that we can't necessarily have the conversation that I want to have. I'm very disappointed. But just like in marriage, right? Like, this is a relationship. There are all these elements. And it's not just about what I want to do. And I guess that's the basis of my argument, is that the Prime Minister may have forgotten that it's not just what he wants to do. It's not just his party. It's not just his government. It's not just his country. It's not just his decision. And perhaps that's the basis of my argument, Mr. Nuri.
That's profound. Callers, I know you were on the line. We have another segment on the show, right?
Yeah.
On the other side, we have like 40 seconds to go. And on the other side, on Garden Radio AM, I'm going to ask the frustration. Why were advocates so frustrated saying, hey, what happened to the police? Why y'all ain't interviewed nobody yet? Right? What do you expect it to happen, right, from an advocate point of view? And then I want to know commentary from the Minister of National Security. Commentary, again, analyzing commentary from the Prime Minister. Commentary from former senior politicos. Mm-hmm. Who should have known better, right? Mm-hmm. And how does that impact all of these things happening inside the Bahamas? So we'll be talking about that on the other side, and you can call and engage us on that other side. This has been On The Clock with Aaron Green, the advocate, the passionate, and we gentlemen, we want justice, Ocha.
Absolutely, and we want to be a part of your next hour, so stay tuned for Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Nuri, and thanks for tuning in to my hour. Have a great day, Bahamas.